KNKX connects to Port Angeles and the Northern Olympic Peninsula. That's what we're doing all this week. Now, the peninsula is often thought of as a destination for coastal hikes along rugged beaches or cozy restaurants with stunning mountain backdrops, Olympic National Park, the undammed Elwha River, and the annual Lavender Festival and Swim are some of the attractions. There's also a year-round farmers market in Port Angeles that's been going on since the early 1980s. It was one of the first in the region, and at this time of year, it's rich with all kinds of colorful produce as well as arts and crafts. The Saturday market was co-founded by a farmer who moved here in 1968. He's also considered to be a pioneer of the organic farming movement in the Pacific Northwest. 88.5 environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe met up with Nash Huber on his farm in the Squim Dungeness Valley.
On a recent sunny morning, I find Nash Huber tinkering with a brush hog mower near several rows of his greenhouses.
I'm not a great mechanic, but that's about what we have right now because the real mechanics are out driving tractors.
He says tinkering with food is his favorite task on the farm. He's known for breeding new varieties of crops such as kale and spinach and for taking advantage of the rich soil and the microclimate that has allowed him to grow produce year-round on the Northern Olympic Peninsula. It shows up in organic markets all over the region. Nash Huber is developing a new kind of Brussels sprout and a new Romanesco cauliflower.
You know, food that tastes like food is real important to us. It's got to eat good. I do like taste. I do like flavor. It's a big deal.
That commitment to flavor, along with his early use of organic farming techniques, have earned him many awards over the years. Nash is 77 now. He's been farming the soil in Squim without chemicals for the past 50 years. He was 27 when he left the Midwest, where he grew up on a small family farm. After college in the 1960s, he worked for a big food processing company, developing new methods for utilizing cornstarch.
I was a chemist, a food chemist. I took stuff apart, you know, and I put it back together. I was a carbohydrate protein chemist. I could do stuff that people hadn't done before. And it was interesting. It was challenging, beautiful, interesting work. I was turned on by it. But I could see where it was headed, and I didn't want to be part of that.
He enrolled in grad school, but he still wasn't happy.
Blew that up, you know, in 67, 68, with everybody else blowing stuff up. And just said, okay, that's it.
He decided to go west. He and his girlfriend at the time piled into a green Chevy 2 and drove, first to California. They went up the coast and eventually landed in Squim. Nash remembers the moment he decided he wasn't leaving. He loved the clean air and open space, but it was something else that made him stay.
We'd come across the floating bridge over there over Hood Canal. Had been built in 64. And it cost a buck and a half then to cross the bridge, and I said, well, we're not going back. A dollar and a half was quite a bit more than it is now. And then came over that little rise there as you first come over the 101 and looking out. The sun was going down August evening and could see the sunset out over Squim. And it was a much smaller town then. And it was absolutely stunningly beautiful. And seeing the mountains and the sun and I said, well, yeah, we're not going back. This is it. We're staying here.
That spring, he rented 35 acres on Squim Bay. He grew hay on burnt-out fields and pieced his life together with ends barely meeting. He used the natural organic methods he learned from his parents as a kid on the farm in Illinois. To make money, he learned carpentry, worked for a while as a contractor building houses. He started growing vegetables for food, kept bees the way his grandfather had taught him, and co-founded the Port Angeles Farmers Market because he and some friends needed a place to sell their stuff.
You had to have income. You know, it takes money to live.
Eventually, he expanded his vegetable growing by leasing land in the mineral-rich Dungeness River Valley. And he met his wife, Patty McManus. She's his business partner on the farm, handling promotions and currently poultry and egg production. She greeted me in front of a grassy pen with dozens of free-range hens and several roosters.
Well, this is only maybe half the flock. The other half is in the barn. We're kind of a different operation.
They don't use any commercial feed. Instead, they give their hens a special mix of protein-rich grains, most of which they grow themselves.
Like here, this is a bin of our grain. We have a couple of different kinds of wheat. We have triticale, we have barley.
And they soak the chicken feed in whey left over from local cheesemakers. Patty says the chickens help control the bug population in a way that's beneficial to their food crops.
We don't want our fields insect-free. We want tachinid flies and praying mantis and honeybees. Of course, we want bees. There's many different kinds of insects that will come in. Ladybugs is the famous one that eat aphids. We want those.
Their farm has grown. It covers about 700 acres now. Patty says Nash was instrumental in getting much of it protected from development. He worked with the PCC Farmland Trust to save the land he had come to love.
This was their first acquisition, the Delta Farm. You're standing on their land. And Nash went over there and said, "This is the heart of Dungeness. If we don't save it, Dungeness will go to development."
Nowadays, the biggest challenge isn't so much saving the land, it's finding talent to keep working it without chemicals as Nash and Patty get older.
Hey, Piggy, Piggy, Piggy. Hey, girls.
They say right now, the hope for the future seems to be a lot of
Piggy,
young
Piggy,
women
Piggy.
Who are stepping up, eager to do this work, like 23-year-old Andrea LaPlante, their livestock manager, who moved here after college on the East Coast. She's been farming since she was 13.
Yeah, I'd be harvesting tobacco and I'd see dead bugs on the plants. And when I was 13, I didn't know anything about organic agriculture, but I knew that that was wrong.
Nash hired her after finding her resume on the internet. Now she's in charge of pork production at the farm. Just beyond the barn with the chickens is a pen in an open field with several litters of piglets and the tired sows that are still nursing them.
It's really satisfying when I look out and I see them playing. That's how you know your animals are happy, that they aren't constantly eating and they have time to play with each other. And so because of that, I feel that they had a good life and I make sure they have a good death and I can also enjoy them after they are gone.
Explore the farm and you'll meet many other young women intent on learning from Nash. And he says he's learning from them too as he figures out how to delegate and communicate his legacy.
You know, if you can't pass stuff on, then it pretty much ends with you. I want to see the farm continue. I want to see the production system that Patty and I put together here continue. I want to see other people be able to utilize the land we've saved and the production system we've initiated to be able to expand it, grow good food that people can eat and be healthy on.
Nash says a lot has changed since he first started farming here 50 years ago. It's a lot more crowded, especially in the spring and summer times. But he says the growing population is also a growing market for his food, which more and more urban people are willing to pay a little extra for, whether they come to his farm stand in Squim or to one of the many farmers markets that carry his produce all around the region. Bellamy Palethorpe, 88.5 News.